Hi, this is Perfecto Martinez, Technical Marketing Manager at Arrow Electronics, continuing our interview series with subject matter experts from analog devices. Today, I'm joined by Dara O'Sullivan, System Applications Manager with the Connected Motion and Robotics team within the Automation and Energy Business Unit at Analog Devices. His area of expertise is power conversion, control, and monitoring in industrial motion control applications. He received his Bachelor of Engineering, Master of Engineering Sciences, and PhD degrees from University College Cork in Ireland, and has worked in industrial and renewable energy applications in a range of research, consultancy, and industry positions since 2001. Thank you, Dara, for your time today. So, Dara, in our previous discussion with Brendan O'Dowd, we spent time discussing the Industry 4.0 migration and megatrends. I'd like to get a layer deeper with you and get more technical, but let me start by getting your thoughts first on what end applications are driving demand for CBM solutions.
Thanks, Perfecto, and thank you for the introduction, and nice to be here on this interview today. Well, I suppose from the perspective of end applications, I think there are a few drivers to think about here. There are a few historical drivers that are actually still very strong in the market. Historically costly critical end equipment like power generation plant, whether that's, you know, in oil and gas, in coal-fired plant where you've expensive turbines, or in the more, you know, more modern types of energy generation, renewables, wind energy, where the infrastructure is quite costly, it's expensive. In the case of wind, it's very often remote. You have oil and gas exploration, again, remote equipment. These are all applications that for many years have been among the drivers of condition monitoring solutions. And these are all still true. These are all still growing in some aspects. You have some production industries like pulp and paper, which are very complex, where even, you know, one bearing failure can stop the whole process. These have been traditionally quite strong in the area of driving demand for CBM solutions. And as I said, these are still growing, still active in this area. There's also the regulatory drivers, things like safety, critical applications like high-speed rail that are, I suppose, more recent drivers of demand. And where the big change, where we're seeing the big change really is in the broader swathe of industrial plant. I suppose lower cost, smaller, less essential equipment like standard compressors, fans and pumps, and even expanding to, you know, production lines, conveyors, robotics, that kind of equipment. I think an interesting indicator of some of this is a recent report by Frost and Sullivan that identified that in 5 to 10 years, you know, approximately half of revenue for pump equipment manufacturers will be derived from service-related income, which is directly tied to condition monitoring solutions. So there's definitely a range of end applications, historical and more emerging, that is driving growth in this new and exciting market.
Great. And so if we look at technology trends, Dara, are there any specific technology innovations that are accelerating adoption?
I think there's one that we can highlight very clearly. And again, if we look at the historical situation, because in some ways CBM is not new, in other ways it is very new. But historically, piezoelectric sensors really owned the technology space for condition monitoring, and for very good reason. They were the technology that had the capability in terms of specifically measurement bandwidth and measurement noise levels to truly be able to detect the kinds of faults and conditions, to monitor these high-end expensive equipment. And I think probably the breakthrough in recent years has been the advance in MEMS or microelectronic switches technology. That simply wasn't good enough for many years and was, you know, mainly confined to consumer type applications. But in recent years, the measurement bandwidths of MEMS technology have come up to the approaching the level of piezos. And also the noise levels have come down, you know, to approach the level of piezo sensors, but at a considerably lower cost. And this really has enabled an expansion in the market, making it accessible to lower cost systems. As we mentioned, the balance of plant, standard machinery. You know, as an example here, the ADXL 1000 series from Analog Devices, you know, these are reaching now noise levels of 20 to 30 micro G per root hertz, which is, as I say, comparable with many piezo sensors, bandwidths of 10 to 20 kilohertz, again, comparable with many piezo sensors. And I think this change and transformation in sensing technology is really one of the main drivers. And on top of that, I think this, you know, expanded capability for MEMS sensing also drives change in the connectivity capabilities. Piezo, I suppose, is essentially an analog technology, whereas MEMS, with its lower cost production and ease of integration, really lends itself to a more integrated edge node solution, which can be interconnected with the rest of the factory as a standard digital output field sensor, which is really where factory automation is going, where every element, every node in the factory, every device, every sensor is, you know, reaching the capability of being interconnected to the main factory network, passing data into the system and generating that database of knowledge about the process for the factory owner.
That's great, Dar. So if we look at application insights and dig a bit deeper, what do you believe are the key machinery parameters that need to be monitored and why?
So, well, if we think about, I suppose, the typical faults that are prevalent in moving equipment. And I guess, you know, most factory automation industrial machinery is moving equipment of some shape or form, whether it's rotational or whether it's linear. And it's the movement aspect that causes wear, you know, causes friction, causes things to degrade. And the types of faults then that industrial equipment owners, manufacturers are typically worried about are things like imbalance, mountings of machinery becoming worn, or mountings being misaligned, not correctly aligned when they're put together, or going out of alignment. You can have things like chipping and stress fractures in gearboxes. You can have bearings becoming worn, becoming damaged, and you know, bearings are one of the key things in a lot of machinery that are the source of problems and maintenance requirements. You can have loss of lubrication. And then within machines themselves, within the electrical side, you can have motor windings degrading. You can have earth currents flowing through the bearing houses, further causing damage. So there's this range of fault types that exist in these rotating machinery that, you know, that drive the parameters that need to be monitored. And I'd kind of divide them really into mechanical faults, which I suppose are the main ones. These are typically manifested by vibration or acoustic noise, and electrical faults, again, generally picked up by measurement of current and voltage or indeed magnetic field. There are some other parameters that can be measured as well, probably not as commonly, but also useful to understand machine condition, things like the oil quality in gearboxes and bearings, and also the machine temperature to make sure that, you know, things aren't overheating or if they're degrading and the temperature is rising. And I think for us in Analog Devices, this whole idea of transforming physical parameters, physical measurements to data, that's where our strength lies. And you know, particularly as we mentioned before, in vibration measurement with MEMS technology, and also in electrical measurements. And indeed, we're also, you know, piloting other methods of sensing different parameters like oil quality, or like using vision as another example for looking at changes in movement in the system.
Okay, so if we think about some of the technical details on sensing and solution requirements, if we consider vibration sensing specifically, can you talk a little bit about the technologies in this space and the technical challenges or requirements associated with vibration sensing?
So we already discussed briefly MEMS and piezo sensors, which are probably the dominant technology for vibration sensing. And I suppose just to dig a bit deeper on these, with MEMS sensors, some of the key advantages that they have is the broadband measurement capability right down to DC. So for example, if you have a machine where you also want to look at the tilt, you know, how the machine is actually sitting at DC, all the way up to high frequency sensing, shock recovery. In a lot of these machines, you have severe shocks during operation. Piezo can struggle sometimes to recover from shock, or it takes a while for it to recover from a severe shock. You have the linearity and stability of MEMS, again, industry leading. I suppose where piezo can dominate then is for very high-end applications where high bandwidth is needed and very low noise is needed. Piezo still dominates on those very high-end applications. And I suppose, why do we need low noise and why bandwidth? And I guess the key thing here is that for early stage defects in equipment, the best place to look to identify these is in the higher frequency bands. Because if you consider a defect in a machine, that's effectively like a little hammer blow inside the machine that occurs, for example, in a bearing, where you have a defect in a bearing. And every time that strikes another part of the machine, you get this hammer blow internally, which is effectively a wideband impulse. And it creates energy at over a large range of frequencies. The problem is at the lower frequencies, that can be very much masked by all of the other things that are going on in the machine related to its rotation, related to any imbalances and things like that in the machine. So it's a lot easier to identify really early stage defects at the higher bandwidths. And in fact, at higher frequencies, the G measurement, the acceleration measurements are higher just because of the physics of acceleration. And, this is where I think it's important for customers and individuals and developers to look at, well, what are the sensor parameters that I'm using here? Is it, for example, a 1 kilohertz sensor? Maybe okay for some faults, but if you're looking to capture really early stage defects, you're going to run into trouble there. It could be a mid-range 5 to 6 kilohertz bandwidth sensor, not too bad in some level, but if the G range, for example, is only 10 to 20 G, you're now going to potentially hit issues with overload, because at those higher frequencies, the G impacts are proportional to frequency squared, so you do get a lot higher G measurements. So I think it's important to understand the correlation between the sensor parameters and the types of faults that are being looked for, whether they are system faults or whether they are bearing faults, gear faults, which tend to manifest themselves better in the higher frequency ranges and with a low noise floor, so that you can pick them out of the noise floor.
That's some great food for thought for our listeners, Dara. So apart from the sensor itself, what other technical and practical considerations are involved in building a CBM solution?
One of the key things that we know that a lot of people struggle with is the mechanical coupling of these sensors. So, there's multiple ways you can couple a sensor to your machine. That could be a handheld probe, it could be magnetically coupled, it could be glued on with adhesive, or it could be stud mounted through a threaded bolt. And all of these have widely varying different frequency responses. So for example, if you have a sensor that has a bandwidth up to 10 kilohertz, we'll say, and you glue it to your machine, you will not capture 10 kilohertz worth of energy. The glue itself will absorb much of that higher frequency energy. It will never make its way to the sensor. So having a good understanding of the mechanical coupling require mechanical coupling and its match to the frequency band of your sensor is definitely one of the key practical considerations that are needed to understand. And it is one that a lot of people run into problems with. I think another one that's, you know, that can be challenging is, you know, you have your sensor, it's a great sensor, it's low noise, it's wide bandwidth, and the temptation is there to use a very cheap ADC. For example, it could be an internal ADC and a micro. And, you know, it could be on paper a decent performance ADC, but if the noise levels of that ADC and the driver circuitry is not good, if the noise levels are too high, if the driver circuitry is not good enough, you'll effectively raise the whole noise floor of the system and, you know, basically not capture all of the information that your sensor is capturing. So having a signal chain matched to the sensor, looking after things like aliasing, making sure that your anti-aliasing circuit is appropriately designed, that you're, you know, that if you don't want the sensor resonance to carry through to the output, that you're looking after that correctly. These are all key to a good solution. And as well, then obviously, you know, given the environment, having a strong, robust communication solution that can withstand the EMC environment, the noise environment that you're typically going to see in a factory floor, and usually requiring long distance, whether that's wireless or wired, every piece of that system needs to be well matched to the rest of it, so that the information that you're trying to capture from the machine makes its way all the way through to the actual data you're seeing at the other end.
Great. And as we wrap up this interview, Dara, let's talk a little bit about the power of analog devices and air electronics to help our listeners with their solutions. How are aero electronics and ADI enabling the customers to develop solutions quicker?
I think one of the key things that we do, ADI and Aero do together, we're constantly working with our customers to understand the technical challenges they're facing and how we can address them. But I think one of the key things is directly relates to the last point we made, Perfecto, on the need for, you know, a robust full solution. And, you know, we're working together with Aero on full system solutions that can capture that high quality data at the machine with an appropriate mechanical connection, an appropriate signal conditioning interface, an appropriate sensor, appropriate and high performance signal processing, getting you your data as a customer into your algorithmic engine for you to develop your own optimized algorithm and insight generation for your system. That's the kind of thing we do with Aero. That's the kind of thing we're working together to build and to bring to customers, you know, not just a point solution, but looking how these things all fit together and bring our collective expertise to bear on that. And I think it's a powerful combination for addressing these systems in the best way possible.
Great. Well, this concludes our interview with you, Dara. Once again, thank you for your time and thank you for sharing your thoughts with the CBM Connect listeners.
Thanks, Perfecto.
Yeah, and to all the listeners out there, if you're looking for more information on how analog devices and air electronics can help you with your Industry 4.0 migration, as well as help you with your CBM solutions, please head over to www.aero.com. And if you have any further questions, please submit your questions and we'll get back to you. Thank you for listening to this interview with Dara O'Sullivan, Systems Application Manager at Analog Devices.